I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And we'll commence reading tonight at verse number 8. That is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, commencing to read at the 8th verse. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible and His precious Word. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall he deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are given that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just have a word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, I confess my need of thee tonight, and I pray for the enlightenment of thy Holy Spirit. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, our God, for speaking to our hearts even as we have opened the word. And we pray that this night that thou will help me, our God, to tell this congregation what thou hast brought before me. And Lord, I pray tonight that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that for those tonight who are not saved, that thou wilt bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, and for his glory. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we looked at the characteristics of the last days as were described by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus was asked a question in verse number 3, and the disciples privately came to the Master, and they said, tell us, Jesus, tell us, Master, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And in answer to their question, in verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, last Lord's Day evening, we noticed the characteristics of the last days, and I said to you last Lord's Day, that when we think of the last days, remember, they are days which from the time that the Savior ascended to heaven and went back to glory until he comes again. Those are the last days. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving to us characteristics that the disciples in their day would see, and that we would also see in this our day. And we notice the first one was this in verse number 4. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And there will be a tremendous confusion in the hearts of people concerning and surrounding the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And deception will be something that will be widely spread regarding our Savior, and there will be claims of false appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. As if you go down to verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. And so it is a time, and there's a caution against the confusion. And then the second thing we noticed was the conflict, verses 6 and 7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there we notice the conflicts. It tells us here that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and certainly in this day in which we live, that's what we're listening to. Every day we hear of some further conflict that's going on in the world. Seems to be hastening in the number of the conflicts. We dealt with that last Lord's Day evening. And then if you look at the end of verse number 7, it says, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places, divers places, various places. And there we notice the calamities that are to happen. There would be famines, there would be pestilences, and there would be earthquakes. And surely once again, when we look at the world tonight, we can certainly see famines on every hand and pestilences and earthquakes in so many various places. That is the confusion and the conflict and the calamities. But you'll notice in verse number 6 what the Lord Jesus said there. He said, and it says, see that you be not troubled. And you know, whenever people look at what is happening all around us, it is so easy for God's people to be troubled. And we can say to ourselves, well, now there it is. You know, we're in very, very difficult and dangerous days, and we don't know what's going to happen next. And many of God's people are perplexed, but the Word of God says, see that you be not troubled. This is not to perplex you. Because, child of God, let me tell you, notice what it says also in verse 6. For all these things must come to pass. In other words, don't you be troubled, because he says all these things. Every last one of them will come to pass. You see, there are no accidents with God, friend. All these things must come to pass. But notice then the other statement, but the end is not yet. Then if you go down to verse number 8, it says, all these, that's all these things, the wars and the rumors of wars and the nations rising against nations and the famines and the pestilences, then the earthquakes, all these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows. And as I said last Lord's Day evening as we were nearly closing, friend, if those were the beginnings, what will the end be? If that's the beginning of the sorrows, what will it be whenever it comes to its final conclusion? And then we turn just for a few moments as we finish last Lord's Day evening, not only the sign in as regards the characteristics on the earth in the last days, but then we noticed what was happening amongst the professing church of Jesus Christ in the last days. Look at verse number 9. And they shall deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. It's a time of persecution. They shall deliver you. They shall be offended. They shall betray you. They shall hate you. Then verse number 11, it says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. There's not only, friend, persecution, there's pollution. Because the false prophets pollute from within. And they creep in unawares and they pollute the very fountain. And the sad reality is that's the reality of the situation today, because many preaching houses have been polluted. Because they're no longer preaching the whole counsel of God anymore. They're no longer preaching the blood of Christ. They're no longer preaching the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And they preach another gospel. Then notice what it says there in verse number 12. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Not only is there a fearful affliction, there's the falling away. And friend, we're finding indeed this day in which we live, there is in our society, notice it says, because iniquity shall abound, it'll be everywhere. Sin seems to have taken over society. It abounds cruelty and persecution. It abounds on every hand. And that has an effect upon some of the professing church. Notice what it says. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax, or that word is become cold. And the malicious and outrageous persecution will have great increase in the treachery and the hatred of the apostates and the errors and the heresies of false teachers and the wickedness that prevails and the flood of iniquity that abounds, friend. Listen, what happens? Many will wax cold. In other words, many will lose heart. And many will lose courage. Our brother talked about the heart this morning. Many of God's people, friend, will lose heart. And the zeal of many will be dampened. And there will be a falling away. I was reading in a home this past week the words that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. He says, will ye also go away? You see, from that time, many of them went back. The Lord Jesus said, you know, you came because of the miracles. But friend, whenever he told them the doctrine and told them his teaching, they were offended, the Bible says. And because they were offended, from that time, many of them went back, and it says, and they walked with him no more. And friend, in that day of affliction, in that day of persecution, in that day of false prophets and pollution from within, testimony of the work of God. Many people will be confused, and many people, friend, will turn back. And there'll be a falling away. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, you've left your first love. The Savior turned to his disciples that day whenever they went back and walked with him no more, and he said this to his little band of people. He says, will you also go away? Friend, we're living in days of testing. And the Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I wonder, are we willing to stand fast? Or are we willing to grow cold? Many, friend, are because of the wickedness that abounds in every hand. It says the love of many. Now, thank God it didn't say the love of all. It does say the love of many shall wax cold. But praise God. Look at verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Notwithstanding all the iniquity. thank God there'll be those that are faithful. There are those that will remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and will stand and praise God. Here we see the perseverance of the saints, and thank God they'll bear affliction and they'll prevail to the end. They'll keep on going. And that's a prayer that you should pray every day. Oh God, please keep me faithful this day. Never let me lose heart. Friend, as you look around you, and there's many things in the Christian church today that might would disappoint you and perhaps even disillusion you. But in God's name, don't lose heart today. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your eyes upon the eastern star and the eastern sky. Jesus Christ is coming again. And thank God he's coming just exactly as he said he would. And it says, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, shall be delivered. And then notice what it says in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now here is, friend, a sign that is given to us concerning the end. It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And the gospel of the kingdom is a gospel of the grace of God, friend. And the preaching of the gospel, it says here, it shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And I thought about that. And isn't that the commission that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples before he left them? Isn't that what Jesus Christ said before he went up into heaven? This is what Jesus said. Here is my commission, he says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And friend, let me tell you. Before he comes again, it'll be fulfilled. See, the Lord didn't give a commission that would fail. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here we find it says, this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Thank God. There are missionaries out in the field tonight fulfilling in all the world that commission of Christ. You ought to pray for your missionaries that God will keep them faithful. Because you see, this will be witness to the fact that the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world. It's a witness to the fact that we're close to the end. For it says, and then shall the end come. And when I looked at that, I just says, thank you, Lord. Because, let me tell you, the devil has tried to stamp out gospel preaching over the years. The devil has tried to put the people of God, yes, he has put them to the hangman's noose. He has put them into the fires of the stake. And men and women have been burned for their faith and their trust and their faithful proclamation of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, no matter the contrivances of the devil, friend, and no matter how great are the multitudes of those that are carried away with falsehood, God will never leave himself without a witness. But because the word of God is promised that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Thank God we're on the victory side. And then, says Jesus. Now remember, this is the Savior. This is the Savior speaking for it. This is his answer to the question. Now I confess tonight I am not a prophetic preacher. I thank God for faithful men that have studied prophecy for many years, and I know that there are a number of different views concerning prophetic scriptures, but I want us just to take, this is what the Savior said in answer to the question. Tell us, Lord. Tell us, Master. What shall be the sign? Now, I want us, therefore, to continue tonight, because I want us to move now to verse number 15. Because I said to you, we have got not only the signs of the characteristics in this world before the Lord comes again, and then the signs in the church, but I want to come to a little piece of land in the world. I want to come to Israel. And friend, if you look on the map on the world, I want to tell you this, you'll hardly see it. It's so small. And yet in prophetic scriptures, I believe that it is so important. The Word of God tells us we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you look at Jerusalem tonight, and you look at what is happening in that Middle East area, you will notice that there is anything but peace, but there is a restlessness. My, there is a cauldron that is boiling up in that little area of the world. And I want us to come to that because I believe it is important in answer to the disciples' question, what shall be the sign? And we come to verse number 15. It says this, when ye therefore shall see. Now the Lord reminds us there are things for us to see. In other words, we're to look out for the sign. And when we see the signs, we're to read the sign carefully. And the Lord says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand, let them which be in Judea flee into the mount. Now, I want us to come to that direction by the Lord because he said to the disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And therefore, for you and I to understand what this is all about, that's where we have to go. And I want you to turn back now to the book of Daniel and come to the chapter 9. Of the book of Daniel. And pray that God will help us, preacher, to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, Daniel was with God's people in their exile in Babylon. It was during that exile that he was told about the vision of the 70 weeks. And we're going to come to that in a moment. We find in the early part of Daniel chapter 9, in verse number 2, in the first year of his reign, that's the reign of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And you will know as you study the Word of God, friend, at the beginning of the chapter here, there is a talk about 70 years. And then you'll notice when you come to verse 24, there are 70 weeks. Now, the 70 years is clear for us to understand because Jeremiah the prophet told the children of Israel, or the Jews, that they would be in bondage in Babylon for 70 years. And that was exactly how long they were there. Just as God had said, they would be in bondage for 70 years. You know, they were being punished for their sins, the sins of Judah against God. And Daniel realized that because if you notice that as he thought about that and he thought about the 70 years of bondage in verse number 3, he says, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and we have committed iniquity. And Daniel realizes that they are there because of their sin. And Daniel seeks the face of God. He says, I set my face unto the Lord God. Now you'll find that Daniel chapter 9 is divided in two. The first 19 verses is the prayer. And from verse 20 to the end, it is the prophecy. And friend, we haven't time to go into the prayer of Daniel, but it was a prayer of humiliation. It was a prayer of confession, because he not only confessed the sins of the people of God, but he confessed his own sin. And he cried to God for God's forgiveness. He says, God, we have sinned. But he asked God to forgive them their sin. And so Daniel's prayer is recorded here, and it ends at verse number 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And thank God his prayer was heard. Look at verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mount of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me. Verse 22, and he informed me, and he talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now we come to the vision, friend. We come to the understanding, because this is referred to by the Savior there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Is what he's talking about. And we come to the vision, and it's a vision concerning 70 weeks. And I want you to notice what it says here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Notice the words, 70 weeks are determined. In other words, decreed or destined or appointed. Now, you'll notice something about the 70 weeks, if you go to verse 25. You'll find that the 70 weeks is divided, or the 70 weeks is divided into three stages. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, or 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the walls even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come, and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And then verse 25, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now mark those three. There is a 7 week period, and then there is a 62-week period, and then there is a 1-week period. Now, whenever we talk about to understand what is meant here, the period of the 7 weeks and the period of the 62 weeks and the third period, the period of 1 week, there are 70 prophetic weeks that are mentioned here. Periods. But what do they stand for? Well, if you turn back just for a moment, go back to the book of Genesis. And we'll come to Genesis chapter 29, and we'll go to verse number 27. It says this, "Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me, yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week." In verse 30, "And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And I believe the prophetic week that is mentioned here represents 7 years. The prophetic week. And so therefore it's divided up in 7 multiplied by 7. That's 49 years. And then there's a 62-week period, which is 7 years for each of those. That's 434 years. And then there's a 1 week, 7 years. And I want us to understand what those 70 weeks, because they're determined, it says, they are decreed, and in them certain events will take place concerning the Jews and concerning Jerusalem. Now notice the first thing, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem." There's the first part, and that is 7 weeks. And then on to the Messiah, the Prince. That will be the 62 weeks. And then there's 1 week left. We'll come to that in a moment. Gabriel's prophecy concerning the first 7 week period, or the first 49 years. What happened there, friend, concerning Jerusalem and Jerusalem after this prophecy? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Exactly as the Word of God says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Because in that period of time, the Jewish remnant went back and they built again the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And that is covered in the books recorded in Ezra and Nehemiah and in Haggai. The building again of the temple and the building again of Jerusalem. And that covered a period of 49 years. That was the first 7 week period. 49 years. And then when the walls and the gates had been restored and rebuilt, there was a second period, extended period of 62 weeks, which covered 434 years. And what happened at the end of the 434 years, friend? What does it say here? Unto the Messiah, the Prince. Because it was after that period, after the 434 years, the Lord Jesus Christ rode into the city on the back of an ass when the people cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Messiah had come. The Prince, Messiah, had appeared. Now notice what it says that after that, verse 26, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." Friend, that's exactly what happened. Because no sooner did the Lord Jesus Christ ride in triumph into the city of Jerusalem, but he was taken to the cross. And the Savior was cut off. But notice what the Word of God says in verse 26. But not for himself. And there we have how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, came and he went to the cross of Calvary and he died for sinners. And that's the very heart of the gospel. For the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for sins of his own, but the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people. And then notice what happens after that. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. You see, another prince, that's not the Lord Jesus there. That's not the capital P, prince. But it says the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And friend, that was A.D. 70. Whenever Titus's army come in, the Roman general and his armies come in. And that's exactly what they did. They destroyed the city and they destroyed the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And let me tell you, friend, what happened was they demolished the temple. They plowed the city of Jerusalem like a plowed field. They slaughtered the people. Says that the end thereof shall be like a flood, meaning a gushing, an outpouring, an overflowing, a torrent, denoting the ravages of the army sweeping everything away. They carried everything away before them. In actual fact, there were so many crosses hanging. People were slaughtered and people were put. It was called a vast forest of slaughter. Exactly as God had said. Now notice it says also, it's interesting, because the Holy Ghost gets it completely right. It says the people of the prince that shall come. Because let me tell you, Titus, whenever the army surrounded the city, Titus was in command, but he was not there. And Titus had given a command to his soldiers not to destroy the city. Not to destroy the city, but he himself was not there to command the soldiers. And when the prince was not there himself, the people of the prince, the army, they disobeyed his command and they flattened the place. And they slaughtered the people and they went on and they wrecked the city. Isn't it interesting? Every last detail in those verses, friend, there was written 500 years in advance. But every last detail was fulfilled. You say, how did Daniel know, friend? Because God told him. Gabriel was delivering the message from God, friend. And God wrote the history in advance and called it prophecy. And God's written the last part of the story in advance. And we call it prophecy as well. Now we notice at the end of verse 26, seven periods of 7 years have passed and 62 periods of 7 years has passed. And now we come to verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And I believe the Lord is pointing here to what is referred to in Matthew's Gospel 24, verse 15, the final week period. And he's speaking of something that's in the future. Now, what happens over that 7-year period, that final week period of 7 years? Well, the Bible says here, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The 1 week is cut off from the 69. Do you notice that? Because God has cut it off now to bring us to the last days. The end 7-year period. A few weeks ago or a few months ago, I preached on the European Union. Daniel chapter 2, the image of the beast. And what we noticed on that occasion was that in the last days there would be the revived Roman Empire. And in that revived Roman Empire, there would come a man that would rise out of that revived Roman Empire, a man called the Antichrist. The Antichrist. And prior to that referendum, we noticed about the image, we noticed about the legs, we noticed about the feet, we noticed about the 10 toes, the 10 kingdoms of the revived Roman Empire. And out of this revived Roman Empire would come a man. Let's go back to chapter 8 for a moment. Chapter 8 of Daniel. Because I believe with some of the characteristics of that man, it says here in verse number 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince or princess, and he shall be broken without hand. My friend, I want you just to look for a moment, because I think we have here a picture of this man that's going to arise, this Antichrist. And notice it says, a king, a king. He's going to be a powerful man. You know, the world's in such confusion today that people don't know what's going to happen next. The economies of the world seem to be, especially across Europe, there seem to be floundering. And let me tell you, it seems to be that nobody has an answer for the problems that are facing economically and politically and all the rest of it. Nobody seems to have an answer. And they're looking for a Superman. And he'll come. He'll come. Friend, I'm not talking about the fiction of the television screen Superman. But a Superman will come. A king of power. Notice something else about him. It says he's a king of fierce countenance. He's proud, he's arrogant, he's brazen-faced, he's impudent, and yet he's subtle, crafty, because he's going to fool. He's going to fool. Notice it says, and he's a man of understanding dark sentences. Listen, He's a man of wisdom. He's going to have the answer that the world seems to be looking for. Not a bit of wonder the world's going to go after him. Because he's got the answer. And friend, the Bible tells us that he's a man of power. In other words, he's a mighty man. But notice what the Holy Ghost says. But not by his own power. He's energized by the devil. He's empowered by Satan. He's Antichrist. Notice it says, he shall destroy wonderfully. Yes, he's mighty. And then verse 25, and through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Friend, it seems he's got the answers. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Peace. He'll defy Christ. Now just keep your hand there a moment, friend. Just turn to 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians in the chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Listen, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Here's this Superman. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, because it says something about this man. He shall confirm the covenant with many in 1 week. Now, time's quickly going, and listen, I wish you had more time to do this, but listen, this man's going to arise in the midst of the revived Roman Empire, and he's going to make an agreement. Mark this. As I understand the scriptures, friend, he's going to make an agreement. He's going to make a covenant. Listen, there's 7 years, remember, this 1 week. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. With Israel. And as he makes this covenant with the Jews, I have no doubt whatsoever he's going to make this covenant with the Jews about the holy city itself, Jerusalem, that the Jews love, and the temple. And he's going to assure them that all will be peace. And they're going to receive him. But then notice something happens. Go to verse 27 again. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Something will happen, friend. And in the middle of the 7-year period, 3.5 years, he's going to break his agreement. He breaks his agreement with the Jews. And he enters into Jerusalem, and he imposes an idol on their altar, the abomination of desolation. Abomination carries with it the idea of abhorrent, detestable, disgusting, foul, horrible, impure. And the presence of an idol, a false god, and its worship placed in the temple of God. And that's what it said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showeth himself that he is God. And the world has fallen at his feet. Now, friend, listen to me carefully. For to put the idol in the temple in Jerusalem, two things had to happen from the time of Daniel's prophecy. Two things from what Jesus said, in Matthew 24. Two things had to happen. First of all, the Jews had to return to Jerusalem. They had to return. It was absolutely impossible for him, this Superman, to make an agreement with the Jews if the Jews were not back in Jerusalem. And so we find that the Jews returned, even though the world thought it would never happen. In 1948, Israel became a nation again. The state of Israel came into being. And since that day, friends, since the birth of that nation in 1948, let me tell you, there's been nothing else, only fightings. The Arab nations surrounding Israel have sought to destroy over and over and over again. They have sought to destroy the Jews. And the hatred of the Israelites and Israel and the Jews is widespread, and they want to obliterate them off the face of the earth, but they're there to stay. Because God's word will be fulfilled. I said there were two things had to happen. One of them has happened, the other hasn't happened yet. Because it said the abomination was there, it said that there would be this abomination in the temple. Now, here's the problem. We went to Israel last year, those in the congregation. Listen, there was no temple. No temple there. So how could this Superman put an idol in the temple except the temple's rebuilt? But if you look on the Temple Mount, there are two mosques. You will find that the Jew will not walk on the top of that mountain, because there on that Temple Mount there was the holiest of holies. And they dare not enter into the presence or stand upon that holy ground. But instead of that, two mosques have been put there. But the Word of God tells me that this Antichrist will put an idol in the temple. That simply means that the temple will be rebuilt. And those that were there in Israel, remember this, that the Jewish people are talking about the rebuilding of the temple. They have the menorah. They have got the different beautiful structures, or rather the articles for the temple already prepared. But there's no temple to put it in. But sooner or later, I don't know how, that desire of the Jewish people will be fulfilled, and they will rebuild the temple on that mount. Now, in 1967, for the first time in 2,000 years, friend, At the end of the Six-Day War, the Jews gain control of all of Jerusalem. Man never thought it would happen. And ever since that, let me tell you, the United Nations and all the governments of the world, friend, as well as the Arab nations around Israel, they want to see a divided Jerusalem. They say that Jerusalem has to be the head of a Palestinian state, as well as a Jewish state. And pressures have been placed upon them. But the Jews have said up until now, that is non-negotiable. This is the city God gave us. And we're not letting it go. You see, friend, they have control of Mount Moriah. That's the place where David purchased the ground to build the temple, Solomon's temple. It was a place where Abram offered up Isaac. And as I stand tonight in this pulpit, plans have already been drawn up for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how it'll happen, but I believe it will. You see, the Lord Jesus said, he said there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, he says, "And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." And that's what will happen. "Then shall be a great tribulation," verse 21, "such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Verse 29, we've got to finish. "And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Jesus is coming again. Friend, are you ready? That's the only thing that matters. Will you be here when Jesus comes? I don't know. Will I be? I don't know. One part of me would love to be. But friend, let me tell you, remember the days of trouble, the days of persecution. But you need to be ready. Friend, if you're not saved, if you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, it is determined. God has already wrote it in the book. You need to be ready for when Jesus comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this evening. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt write Thy word upon our hearts. Realize, our God, that we're living in wonderful days and yet solemn days. We thank Thee we can sing tonight, the King is coming. We realize, our God, there's one will rise against Him. But we bless Thee that Thou hast promised in Thy word that Thou shalt destroy him. Thou shalt destroy him at Thy coming. with the brightness of thy coming. Lord, save the lost. Lord, restore the fallen. Help us as thy children to get in the business of really living right for God. In Jesus' name.